46-yard line of their own territory after a four-and-out turnover of downs. 22 seconds left. Beale City gives the ball back to Lakers. The victory formation comes out, and final score, 14-13.
And you can't say enough about that offensive and defensive line of Lakers as they set the tone in this game and never stopped harassing the running game and the quarterback. And on that last drive, they set the tone. And when they can rush four and drop seven guys into pass coverage, it is pretty tough to throw the ball down the field, especially when Lakers knows you're just going to try and throw it at them. So great game and a great finish. Strong defense by the Lakers.
In the second half, Beale City held the ball for 14 minutes, 15 seconds. Lakers, 9 minutes, 45 seconds, which is actually almost identically flip-flop from the first half. So the final time possession, Lakers, 24 minutes, 32 seconds. Beale City, 23 minutes, 28 seconds. Split right down the middle. This you can't get much of a closer score, 14-13. Let's take a look now at the offensive and defensive stats. Beale City ends the night with 122 rushing yards compared to Lakers' 158. Beale City passed the ball for 30 yards, Lakers 28 yards. So total offense for Lakers, 42 plays of offense for 186 yards. Beale City, 46 plays for 152 yards. Can't get much closer than that. Beale City with two offensive penalties for 10 yards. Lakers, four penalties on offense for 35 yards. Leading the offensive attack for Beale City was Chase Rollins, 69 yards off of 12 carries. Both touchdowns, though, come to Luke Farrell, 15 carries, 60 yards. Alex Matthews, 4 carries, 19 yards. And Tucker Gross, the quarterback, ends up with negative 26 of the night. He was brought down the backfield 3 times, 10, 8, and 10. He also had a fumble in the night, so negative 26 there for Tucker Gross. Passing the ball, Tucker Gross was 5 for 10, which we estimate coming into this game. Typically, he's been 50% the entire season. For a total of 30 yards, his last 3 passes incomplete. Actually, his last 5 of the 6 passes were incomplete, and the one he did complete was a loss of 9 yards on the night. And bringing in those passes, Chase Rollin, 2 for 6 for 29. Luke Farrell, 2 for 2 for negative 4 altogether. Brad Moore, 1 for 1 for 21 yards, and Cook, 1 for 2 for 5 yards. Tucker Gross, pretty darn good of punting the ball. He had a 60-yard punt, a 44-yard punt inside the 20, impressive to say the least. 2 false starts for Beale City's offense on the night. Beale City defense, 33 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, no sacks, no tip passes, no interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, 1 recovered fumble, but 4 penalties for 45 yards, and that made the difference for the Laker offense.
Well, it did. It gave them all that free yardage on the last scoring drive for Lakers. They lost their temper, and the lid came off, and that was it. You get personal foul after personal foul there in a row.
And for leading the tackling for Beale City, Tucker Gross with 6, Jacob Robeson with 5, Jacob Flogger with 4, and then we had Jacob Matthews, Austin Cook, and Alex Matthews each with 3, Chase Rollin and Luke Farrell with 1 apiece, Ian Hoogeride with 2 tackles, Thomas Fussman with 1, and Nat Reeves and Brent Upton with 2 tackles. Tackles for loss, 1 for each, Kendall Flogger and Austin Cook. Forced fumbles, Nash Reeves with 1, Flogger, that'd be number 73 Flogger, Jacob Flogger with 2, recover fumble, Nash Reeves 1, personal fouls results in 30 yards, illegal procedure on the kickoff was 1 penalty, and then a pass interference, another 15 yards for Beale City. Lakers offense, Dustin Katie pretty much took over this game, 22 carries, 95 yards, and both scores, regardless of having one touchdown, and Diaz Reyes had the other touchdown. Excuse me, that's wrong as well.
Dustin Katie had both touchdowns.
Yep, we're right there. Okay, all right. So Dustin Katie with both touchdowns there. Mauricio Diaz Reyes, 5 carries, 17 yards. Seth Bowles, 2 carries, 14 yards. Terrence Dubes, 8 carries, 32 yards, but he made them count.
Well, he had a couple big-time first downs you don't recognize there. It doesn't come up in the stat sheet. And again, he was doing a great job as lead blocker for Dustin Katie.
Dustin Katie was 2 for 5 for 28 yards on the night. His 16-yard reception went to Brendan Wisner, as well as his 12-yard reception, both receptions in Brendan Wisner's hands. And then the punting, Terrence Dubes had 3 punts of the night, averaged 25 per punt for the penalties here. 2 holds for 20 yards, a false start for 5 yards, and a block in the back, 1 for 10 yards, mostly all in the first half.
They were. Everybody kind of shaped it up in the second half, other than the two personal fouls in a row.
The difference maker here in this game, though, the Laker defense. 30 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks, 1 tip pass, no interceptions, 1 forced fumble, 1 recovered fumbles, and only 3 penalties for 15 yards. That's impressive. Let's take a look here. Terrence Dubes leading the tackling with 8 tackles, Seth Bowles with 4, James Storkney and Snyder with 2 apiece, as well as Quentin Smith, Brandon Wichlager with 3 tackles, and Dustin Cady with 3 tackles, Seth Bowles with 4, then Brandon Wisner, Mauricio Diaz-Reyes with, and Taylor Fall, all with 1 tackle. Not to mention the tackles for a loss. Quentin Smith with a 1-yard loss on the tackle, James Stork 2 yards, and Taylor Fall 9 yards. Sacking the quarterback, Tucker Gross was hit a lot as well. We should keep track of that. The rushes as well. It'd be nearly every single play tonight. Number 55, Smith with 10 yards. Number 7, Seth Bowles with 8 yards, and Diaz-Reyes with another sack for 10 yards. Tip pass, Dustin Cady gets credit for that. Forced fumble, James Stork, he gets credit for that. Ian Snyder recovered it, and the penalties were 3 offsides, mostly because of that 2-step 3-point process for Beale City's offense, which would throw off anyone.
Absolutely, but again, a great game, an evenly matched game. The tackles, the yards, the penalties, everything ended up being almost identical. Again, this team could tee it up and play again tomorrow, and I think you'd have just as exciting of a game, and the finish would be very similar.
Lakers ended the night with 7 penalties for 50 yards. Beale City with 6 penalties for 55 yards. So pretty much everything's identical here, aside from Lakers actually moving the ball a lot more. A lot of turnover downs in this game. We had none in the first half because we had a bunch of punts. We had 3 punts in a row, but we had 2 fumbles as well. But in the second half, we had the first possessions resolved in turnover downs. We had a missed field goal, 2 punts, and 2 turnover downs to result end of the game, but then the Lakers just ran the clock out.
And the missed field goal was about the only other thing.
That was
there.
The critical.
Yeah.
I always say special teams is the difference. If you have a field goal kicker in the playoffs especially, this felt like a playoff game.
Yeah, well, it was a playoff game. Essentially, I mean, both teams are going to make the playoffs. Both teams are going to be doing just fine in their own divisions. But, again, it was a playoff atmosphere. It was great to be a part of it.
Of course, in a great facility here at Saginaw Valley State University, as the Laker fan base still is not leaving.
No, they may not leave. They may call security to get people out of here, but I can't blame them. Until they turn the lights off, even then, they still may be here.
You never know. Lakers now 9-0, first time since 2002. Takes out Beale City 14-13 in quite the fashion. Beale City now falls to 7-2, falling to Ishpeming earlier in the season, 20-0, and this time 13-14 to the Lakers at 7-2. That's their worst record in 3 years thus far, as now they head to the playoffs. Beale City will be in Division 8, Lakers in Division 7. We'll have all that breakdown for you in on Sunday for the Strong Side, starting at 6 p.m. with our normal Strong Side show. We'll break down week number 9 at 7 o'clock. We will announce the pairings of the MHSA postseason. Harbor Beach Lakers in for sure, as well as Cass City. Last we heard of Vassar was losing to Frankenmuth, but Marlette came back and was beating Armada last we checked.
Armada retook the lead 30-24 in that game, so Marlette's still on the outside looking in, and Sandusky, last we heard, was up by 1 touchdown over KPAC.
And, of course, Marlette, Sandusky need victories to secure an automatic berth. Bad Axe was defeating Ubley last we heard.
That is a final. They did defeat Ubley.
So Bad Axe finishes at 5-4. They might get the good graces from the MHSA, but you never know with the dark arts of the MHSA what's going to happen there. And it's going to turn out to be quite the Sunday show with Clark Ramsey, Paul Adams, Eddie Fury from Thumbtail Gear Sports, Paul, of course, from the Huron Daily Tribune, Dave Hansen, our in-game analysis here. You can't ask for much better Sunday. I mean, we know where everyone's pretty much going to fall in divisions, but how the road's going to turn out, we don't know.
No, you don't know. You don't know who you're going to play and who's going to play who. And you look at certain brackets. You know, I know Sue's to you had some projections coming out. And I'm looking at, well, we can start quickly, briefly here. We'll touch upon
this. You predicted this victory for Lakers.
They did, and they were spot on. I don't know how, but anyways, you look at this very closely here in the big three at Division 8 for Harbor Beach, and we'll touch on this a lot. You know, you got to watch out for what we saw with Beale City and Muskegon Catholic Central, of course, the dominant favorite in that division, and Harbor Beach, your top three teams. Right now, the way they had it looking was they had Beale City losing and then playing in the same region.
District.
Team district. You're even better. Even right. Had Muskegon Catholic Central, Beale City, and St. Just